Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week. Oh, man. We're two old guys. Talk about old games.
Yeah, we took Blake's advice to heart.
Yeah, Blake was just like, fuck all these guest hosts, including me. I just want to hear the two of you.
So if this episode ends up being the worst, go ahead and blame Oathbreaker Blake Woods.
That and there was a tremendous snowstorm, and I didn't want to ask anybody to risk their lives coming into the studio.
And not, well, just me.
Well, yeah, you're funny.
Just me. Okay, spoiler, since I'm on this recording, you know that Tyler's neighbor didn't shoot me. And I did park in Tyler's driveway this time instead of hers. I'm really worried about getting out of your driveway. But you have cats, so I'm sure you have cat litter that we can put on
help.
Tires.
They'll help. Yeah,
they'll all push.
They're really, everybody knows cats are really good at getting cars that are stuck in the snow. But yeah, just two old guys talking about old games.
Yep.
This week, is a 5-star review request.
Somebody
requested it.
Yeah, I should have looked up who requested it, but I didn't. So
I'll put it in the show notes.
Or we won't. Hey, if you requested it, you know who you are.
Yeah. Thanks, you. Charles Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden. Gaiden? Gaiden?
I say Gaiden.
Gaiden.
I don't know. I don't know what's proper. When we have Shake back on, we can ask him.
Ask him. We have Charles Barkley on, we'll ask him. But I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And what made me remember this story, because I haven't really thought about it in a while, was when we had our sexy survey all call-in show with Tadpog sweetheart couple Nosh.
Right. I think about that every day.
Yeah. When Nicole talked about having a fuck buddy, and that made me remember.
I think you might want to clarify a little bit before she gets really mad at you for saying Nicole having a fuck buddy.
When Nicole said she had a friend which she would have casual sex with, and her and Josh are both okay with this, that happened before they met. It's totally cool. It's totally cool. I also had one such a partner back when I went to school. I remember occasion once, because this is a weird story, where she lived a distance away. So whenever like we would have to come in and see each other, then of course we're going to have sex and we get to it immediately. And one time when she did, we started having sex and I noticed something was different, but I didn't want to say anything to her.
Like what was different?
It felt different.
Like she felt different.
She felt
her guts.
Her
felt different.
Her bajingo. You're welcome for that Scrubs reference, uh-huh, Sam. Uh-huh. Her bajingo was different.
Uh-huh. How did it feel different?
Texture wise, it felt different.
Yeah,
and
like a Walmart bag was stuck in there.
A little bit, and the lubrication was an issue for the first time ever.
Okay, like the lubrication you were using or
natural lubrication.
Like, definitely a Walmart bag in there.
So, I mean, we kept at it and kept at it. And eventually, like, the lubrication part resolved itself, but it still felt strange.
Inner poon. Remember, you're bringing that back.
I'm sorry, inner poon. And I could tell, like, she wasn't enjoying it as much as she usually did.
Yeah.
But we both just bit down and we both just finished. And then after we were done, she gets up and she walks to the bathroom. And when she's in the doorframe of the bathroom, she stops. And like when she stops, and I look down, like my dick hurts. And I look down, like all the side of it is like red and hurts.
Yeah,
I was like I jerked off way, way too much in a day. Like that kind of pain.
Had you?
No,
okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
So she stops in the doorway.
Maybe her poon is a portal, a time portal. maybe whenever you enter,
it accelerates time.
Yeah, exactly.
Every one thrust is equal to 20.
One thrust is equal to masturbating 5 times.
She stops and she goes, "Oh God." Like, "Oh man, okay, what's wrong?" And she reaches down and she pulls out her tampon.
Oh God, no.
And I was like, "Oh, that's why it was so different and painful and everything." She's like, "Yeah, it hurt and felt bad, but I didn't want to say anything." It's like, "Yeah, I didn't want to say anything to you." So we just had bad tampon sex.
Which still is better than no sex.
Still better than no sex.
I was really worried. Like, I was really worried how that story was going to end. Like, I didn't know if you're going to be like, and then like she stood in the door frame of the bathroom. Like, that's when I started getting worried because I was like, what's going to happen? Like, and then she squatted down and 50 condoms fell out.
It was like whenever a magician pulls the colored napkins out of his sleeve, just a rain of multicolored condoms.
All different sizes, brands. What's up, internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. And I figured since we're talking about a game that's all about slams and jams, mm-hmm. I would talk a little bit about my own experience slamming and jamming.
That's what you were known for around your high school.
More in middle school. I feel like I might have touched on this a little bit. Perhaps in the NBA James episode, or maybe even, God forbid, Shaq Fu. But I tried playing basketball when I was in middle school, mm-hmm. and I don't just mean like pick up basketball. I mean, or like playing horse in the driveway with a goal, like legitimate, like middle school organized basketball. And I was really, really bad at it. Believe it or not, I was underweight. A below average height, and I'll just go ahead and admit that I'm a white man.
What?
But it was okay because I lived in Cedar Rapids, Iowa at the time, and it was just white men.
Okay,
so
all right.
That playing field was level. I remember that is the I don't like to quit things, which I think is like actually a flaw of mine. Because like people,
it's good now because you'll play through those shitty games.
Well, it does help for Tadpog every now and then. But like generally, I feel like I wish that I could quit things that I just immediately know that I don't like, and that's how it was with basketball. I immediately was like, "This fucking sucks." Because like I remember doing like they had tryouts. I put that in air quotes because it was like anybody who fucking signed a piece of paper was getting on the middle school team. But like they had like. They had like 4 teams and they had like the equivalent of varsity and junior varsity like they do in high school, mm-hmm. but they called it some different bullshit because it was middle school. But they had like varsity version, a version of JV, and then they had like teams that were just colors. There were 2 that were just colors. And our middle school colors were purple and gold. So like those were the shitty teams. Like purple and gold like didn't even play other schools. Like when there was a game, purple would just play gold. And it was always like 3 hours before the game. It was like immediately after school. Like I would just we'd go to the locker room, all of us just short, skinny, like overweight dudes, like underweight dudes, just like the fucking locker room of Misfit Toys, like just putting on our sad jerseys, and not a one of us like doesn't have a t-shirt on over under our jersey.
Yeah.
Like every single one of us has a t-shirt on underneath because we're all either super underdeveloped or our titties are just hanging out of the jerseys.
Were you purple or gold?
I don't remember because I fucking blocked almost all of that because it was just the like, not only was I like on the shitty color team, but I was like the worst fucking player on that team. Like it was an awful experience. And I remember like it was so difficult for me to quit because my dad really didn't want me to quit because he thought that I was giving up and he didn't like it when I give up, especially on sports, because I think he was just like holding on to like a ray of hope that maybe I had some kind of athletic ability deep down inside. So that was really tough. I managed to make a bargain with him where it was like, if you let me quit basketball, I will play tennis. And he agreed to that. And tennis, I was also on one of the color teams. But like the way that that worked was if you weren't really good, you never played singles. Like you always played doubles and you had a double partner. And my double partner, fortunately, was just as bad as I was. So we just had a good time out there.
That sounds better.
We were like the doubles team where like before the game would start and like we would actually play other schools. So there's a step up. We weren't playing just other kids from our school. We would tell the other team congratulations before the game started.
I played basketball like what, third, fourth, and fifth grade. I was on like the best team, but I was the worst player on the best team. I think I scored in those 3 years, I scored 4 points.
That's more points than I ever scored in middle school. By the way, I made the really fucking bad mistake of, is church league basketball like exclusively a Western Kentucky thing? Like, or is like church league basketball everywhere?
You know, I don't know.
Because in Western Kentucky, and probably the whole state of Kentucky, because Kentucky is like basketball nation. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like basketball is the sport here for sure. I remember moving here from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, here being Paducah, and I was going to a Methodist youth group, and I remember they were talking about basketball, and they were talking about church league basketball, and I was such a fucking idiot because it's like I just wanted to like fit in and like make some friends, and I thought at the time impress some of the girls there, but like, clearly I wasn't thinking because like that wasn't going to fucking happen. Not, especially not with basketball.
You didn't need friends. You had all those SNES games that Lord Matt Barker gave you. You're fine.
True. That is true. But somehow I desired the warm comfort of another human being. So that was a complete mistake because you said you scored, what, 4 points in 3 years? Mm-hmm. That church league basketball was like the equivalent of me like playing in the NBA because it was just like, whoa, holy shit. Like people were like knocking me over and like these church league teams were all like the fucking Monstars for space because they were like these huge fucking kids. And it was like, there is no way, because like, and our entire team, it was like being on the fucking purple team again, because it's like our team is just like 13-year-old dudes, 16-year-old dudes. Like, I mean, it was, we were all just like really young, but like all these teams were like fucking, they like 20 years old and like they're shaving before the game. I don't know. It was a fucking disaster. I didn't quit that, but what I did was, really to
stop believing in Jesus. And
yes, that is true. That is true.
That's what did it.
I discreetly spoke to the coach and said, look, I don't really want to quit this, but I also don't really want to play. So if I can just come to these and like sit on that bench, I'm totally cool with that. And then that's what I did. I think we were like the last in the league. Like, I mean, it was like we did not win a single fucking game. And we had like, of course, we had the one guy on the team.
Jesus loved you least.
Yeah.
That year.
Well, yeah. We had one guy on the team who was like good and knew what he was doing. And that was like the most frustrated I've ever seen a human being because he was just like, what are you guys doing? It was like, you've never played World of Warcraft, but like, there are things in World of Warcraft called Battlegrounds, which is all just like team PvP. And it's like when something goes wrong in Battlegrounds, like there's always just one guy on a team who's like, you guys fucking suck. You need to get it together. I can't believe I'm on this shit ass team. Mm. That's what it was, but in basketball form in a church. It was way more hardcore than gold and purple team. Way more hardcore. Also, I brought you know how sometimes I like to bring wrap snacks and stuff like that? I brought special beverages for tonight.
Yeah.
I figured we needed to raise our electrolytes. So
that's true.
I brought Gatorade Frost, Glacier Freeze, which I hate. I just bought it because the name is the funniest of all the Gatorade flavors. I mean, Glacier Freeze, just fucking call it blue. Just call
that's it. Some people are interested in.
Or chemicals. Just call it chemicals. So I'm going to give you the blue one, yeah, Tyler.
Yeah, sounds good.
And I'm gonna slurp on this lemon lime.
That's always what I want when I'm sick, is lemon lime Gatorade.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling better, by the way?
Yeah. Yep. I am. I am not 100%, but yeah, I'm feeling better.
Because Taryn said on Twitter that last episode, it sounded like I was gently choking you throughout the episode. To which I said, don't worry, Tyler knows a safe word.
And yeah, if it was too much, eucalyptus.
Well, what I really wanted to tell her was that you have, I give you my set of keys, and when things get too rough, you just open your hand and drop the keys. But I felt like that was like way too detailed. And then like Twitter would just explode or something. So I didn't say
we have a dead man switch set up.
Right.
So whenever I drop it, then like I have Christmas lights that start flashing. Stop it.
Yeah. Because I didn't want to say that because then I felt like everyone on Twitter would be like, oh, damn, Dave is into some shit. Dave is into some shit to where someone can't say the safe word. They got to drop keys.
That's good. Full House style. I have to throw eggs on parachutes to drop. It's ridiculous. When we do our Danny Tanner cosplay.
The next Dragon Con I'm going as Comet, I've decided. You go as Michelle and I'll go as Comet.
Awesome. Awesome.
I wonder if we could have, you know how they have photo shoots at Dragon Con?
Mm-hmm.
We could just post on the Dragon Con subreddit, Full House cosplay meetup. Third floor of the Marriott.
Guinness's world record. Come dress as your favorite Full House character for the largest Full House cosplay in the world.
There's a lot of Uncle Jesse's. You know there's going to be.
All right. Charles Barkley, Shut Up and Jam. Guyden.
Not to be confused with Charles Barkley, Shut Up and Jam. Dave. A game which I haven't played.
Good deal. Neither have I. Well, let's make this up. Dave, do you hear that?
I do hear that. It's the... It's, man, it sounds like someone's getting, it sounds like someone's being welcomed to the jam. No, they're definitely being welcomed to the slam. My mistake. No, but like Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam is a game, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
It's like Charles Barkley's own equivalent of NBA Jam. Is that right?
It's his own basketball. Yeah, it's his basketball game.
Because like he's not in NBA Jam, right?
Because I think they held the license to his image. That's why Michael Jordan, because of Michael Jordan Chaos in Windy City.
Right. Which I've watched been played, and I don't think that I ever really want to.
Oh, man, that game. Yeah, we watched David Dykus beat that over the course of like three very frustrating hours for him.
Well, I mean, I was so bored with it that I actually didn't watch all of it. Because like I remember nodding off, waking up and being like, this game is still going on? And it looked exactly the same as like when I fell asleep.
In a weird like Adams Family style house with basketball goals everywhere.
Do you think Michael Jordan like even knew that game came out? Or was it just like someone just came up to him and was like, here's your video game check. And he's like, thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. His agent was like, they just want you to put you in a video game, sign this.
Done. Okay, guys. Let's ride that slamming train. Although it's leaving the Barkley station. Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Guyden. It's a freeware role-playing video game developed by Tales of Games Studios. Presented as an, believe it or not, unofficial sequel to Barkley, Shut Up and Jam and Space Jam. It features traditional JRPG-styled battles in dungeons. Usually there's a longer description than that. But I do think it's interesting that this game is available for Windows and Mac OS. I say that just because I know that we have some listeners who don't PC game, but they do have Apple mm-hmm. products. So if you've got a MacBook or something, I mean, you can totally
play this
step
and
up to the jam.
Free. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know the Kickstarter for Chapter 2 of this game is they hit their stretch goal for a Mac edition. So I know the second one will also be for Mac.
Awesome. Which I'm really glad to hear because, spoilers, I really, really enjoyed this game. While I was playing it, I thought of Hatoful Boyfriend, but in a way where I was like, man, Hateful Boyfriend could have been like a really, really good game instead of, I feel like, a mediocre game.
Yeah.
Because this game, Barkley Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden, like never lost its steam. Like it has a crazy setup and they don't just coast on that.
They just fucking embraced it.
Yes. They just like opened their arms and let everything in. And it felt like everything just kept, like it just kept getting crazier and crazier and crazier.
So I guess this game is also like canon to Juana Man, the movie.
Right. Because Juana Man is in the game.
Yeah. Tries to seduce Charles Barkley. He doesn't go for it.
Do we want to maybe like set up what the game is? Do you want to try to stumble through that?
Okay.
Because I feel like the setup is really good.
Okay.
The events of this game take place after the Space Jam. Mm-hmm. Like the Space Jam, and I think that's like even like the game opens up and it's just words on a screen. And I think like the one of the first words is, this is canon.
Yeah.
Which I was already in, like at that. I was like, all right. The Space Jam really happened. And so everything in Space Jam is a factor in this game.
You love that movie? Do you love Space Jam?
Here's the deal. I don't love that movie, but I did want to rewatch it for this episode. And I failed because I got to rent it. I have to rent it. It's not available streaming anywhere. Yeah. Warner Brothers just has got their claws hooked into that. I found, I went on YouTube and searched for Space Jam because, like, surely someone put Space Jam on here. It's nearly fucking 20 years old. Surely Warner Brothers does not give a shit. The first one that pulls up is Space Jam, full movie. I'm like, all right. I click on it and a message pops up that says, you must pay $2.99 to watch this. And there's another one.
I have that somewhere at my mom's house. The VHS and the giant white case that you open. You know, yeah.
So
yeah.
You loved it. You loved Space Jam.
I loved Space Jam. Yeah. So much. I mean, I was really into basketball at the time it came out. Like Dream Team NBA. Like I was really into it at that time.
Well, it feels like Space Jam came out like at the perfect time because that was. I feel like basketball. I could be completely wrong because I don't have an 11 or 12 year old kid, but I feel like when we were that age, basketball, like the NBA was fucking huge. Mm-hmm. Like that was the sport. I'm really disappointed, since Space Jam is canon, I'm disappointed there's no Bill Murray in this game. I think that would have been great.
Yeah.
Or just a mention.
Pardon me. I'd like to show this movie to Kenna when she's older.
No,
but
don't.
It won't. She's like, who is this guy? Who is Michael Jordan?
It's only going to break your heart.
So it's like, you can't go back. You can't introduce that to somebody now and it make as much of an impact.
Do you think Nicole has seen that movie? She's probably too young.
She will see it. It's on the AFI Top 100.
Yeah.
She will get to it.
She'll get to it on her podcast. Man, we should have.
My 5-star review request. Whenever it gets up, please do Space Jam.
We should have done a crossover with Second Breakfast. We play this game and they watch Space Jam.
Damn it!
Because
let's wait a week and I'm gonna call Phil.
I really, honestly, do want to hear what Phil has to say about Space Jam. So
he loves baseball. So I imagine he has opinions about Michael Jordan playing baseball.
This game takes place, and I believe they call it the post-cyber apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's everything is cyberpunk, but it's also apocalyptic. And this post-apocalypse has come about because of Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley did a controversial thing.
Mm-hmm. Highly, highly controversial.
For verboten, almost. He performed at a game. He performed a chaos dunk, which killed 5 million people.
It was the equivalent to 5 nuclear bombs going off in New York City.
So that's pretty much all you need to know until
basketball was elevated to the next level status after the Space Jam because they saved the world.
Thank you. That is really important.
They became heralded godlike figures because of the Space Jam.
I have to correct you. It's not basketball. It's b-ball.
B-ball. You're right. I guess it's basketball trademarks. They have to say b-ball.
I don't know, but every time in this game, I don't think there is. For a game that revolves around Charles Barkley and basketball players, I don't think the word basketball is used once in the game. It's always b-ball. B-ball and b-ballers.
But like everyone who was trapped inside the Monstars basketball,
right,
is basically like demigod level status in the world. And every good player around that time, like I think the latest player that they talk about being the greatest of like the end of the basketball, the b-ball era, is LeBron James.
Right.
Which I guess he doesn't fit the timeline for the rest of the game. No. I guess they just like maybe the kids knew who LeBron James is. We'll throw him in there.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice. Mm-hmm. Because one of the playable characters is LeBron James' great-grandson.
Great-great-great-grandson, okay. I think. Because the year's like 2041
yeah,
or something like
no,
that.
I think it's like 2050-something. And yeah. Like the chaos dunk, I think, happened in 2041.
So Charles Barkley in 2041 is still playing basketball. So I guess the Space Jam conferred to him immortality. Only thing I can assume.
I think all b-ballers, right? Because like you see some other b-ballers and... Because
Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, right? Even, they're exactly the same.
Here's what's I think really cool about this game. Like I wouldn't say that I don't like basketball because I do like watching basketball. I'm just not totally into it. Like I'm not really good at like knowing who players are and who plays for what team. And like, I don't keep up with all that. But I mean, if there's a basketball game on television, I will watch it. If I know anything about the team, like if it's UK or something, I'll sit there and watch the game. But what I thought was really cool about this game was I feel like I almost knew all the players in it because it was like,
there are a few I didn't know, but I knew the majority of them.
I mean, oh, I certainly didn't know all of them, but like, I mean, they have like the big names from when we were young boys. Mm-hmm. Like Larry Bird, you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I love that Larry Bird is a preacher at the church in this game. And Michael Jordan, he's a heel now.
Yeah.
Because he offered to be on the b-ball.
Basically, he hunts.
Yeah, he's a b-baller hunter
that are left over because basketball has been made illegal. There are nowhere. Right. Everybody that Spalding, Nike, yeah, they all have been shut down. Anybody that was affiliated with basketball after the chaos dunk has been shut down. Right. Basketball is illegal. No one even talks about it. It's some real 1984 style shit.
Well, because I mean, there could be another chaos dunk. Mm-hmm. You got to. I mean, I get that. And the government now is Square Enix Goyo?
Yeah, Goya.
Goya? What is Goya?
Goya, it's like a Mexican food brand.
Okay. All right. I like that. I there are things in this game that like I didn't even look up because like that. I was like, well, I know what Square Enix is, but what is Goya? I didn't even look it up. So they're pretty much the megacorp that is running the world.
Yeah.
So it's kind of got this like weird b-ball shadow run feel to it.
And all the basketball b-ball players that like died have all been like mummified and put in like sarcophagus and they have tombs.
That's like, yeah,
that's
one of the
how
first...
you unlock things is you have to go fight through these tombs to find them when you find their tears on their sarcophagus and mm-hmm. you get their power or their ghost will be there and can teach you things.
I also knew that I was going to be in for a treat because when the game starts up, the title screen comes on and the music that you hear is just the theme from Space Jam, which I never noticed as a kid. And I like almost like I thought to myself, did they alter this song? Because like the female vocalist in the Space Jam theme song, when I was a kid, they didn't seem nearly as fucking bored.
Hey, like, yo,
everybody stand up. It's time to jam now. Is it lunch? Oh, and which also made me think of, I completely failed to mention when we were talking about Bravely Default a long time ago, there is a wonderful mashup of Tiz's theme song from Bravely Default mashed up with the Space Jam theme song. It sounds like, I know it sounds a little crazy, but bear with me. I promise you'll be out like dribbling two B balls in no time.
Let's see. Cause I don't want to, I'm risking, cause I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah. Because I really, really want people to play this game.
What's interesting is like the game design, like the dungeons and things that are laid out are a lot of it's from Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Most everything has been copy and pasted from Chrono Trigger.
Well, yeah, there's one zone that is like literally.
It's the sewers from Chrono Trigger. It's the first thing you go through.
It's not just the same tile set. It is the same layout. It's the same everything. And I think the developer's named Chef Boyardee.
Yep.
Chef Boyardee, I believe, took a lot of sprites from other games because Charles Barkley, of course, is the main character in the game. But the really important character is his son, who has the wonderful name of Hoops with a Z, who is the one.
So yeah, supposedly they don't know. Oh, another thing I thought of when I played through this game, because Charles Barkley talks about his wife who died.
Maureen.
Died at the Chaos Dunk. I don't know anybody named Maureen. The only other time I've heard of that name is Sandwich Prince Phil Hawkins. His wife is named Maureen.
I'll stop choking you. Sorry.
So my headcanon is that around like 2020, Maureen leaves Phil for Charles Barkley,
uh-huh.
And together they conceive a child that is Hoops Barkley.
I like how Hoops was born.
You know, this isn't really spoiling anything about the story, because Maureen Barkley gets pregnant, mm-hmm. and gives birth to a basketball.
A b-ball, Tyler.
A b-ball. And the b-ball then hatches. And
3 months later, and Hoops is in there. Hoops, by the way, is the rollerblading kid from, I think, Streets of Rage 3.
Yeah.
that's what he looks like. And I don't mean looks like, that's who he is. That is his sprite in the game. I really want to talk about the game over screen.
Okay.
Because I got it pretty early, because the game pretty much starts out with a quick time event just out of the blue. And those are pretty much impossible in this game. And I love it because the game over screen is sepia tone Charles Barkley. And a blue drop of sweat starts on his forehead, goes down his nose, and drips down. And then in script font at bottom right, Kurt Cobain. The name Kurt Cobain shows up. And that's it.
I don't get that, but it was funny.
It's hilarious. This game is like, if there was a Tim and Eric video game, which there might be, but it probably isn't good. If there was a good Tim and Eric video game, I think it would be this game, Charles Barkley. You texting over there?
I'm looking up something that I'm going to ask you about Charles Barkley in just a moment.
You want me to talk about other stuff while you look it up?
Yes, please.
I kind of was turned off by the type in this game because it's incredibly difficult to read.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the M's, the capital M's and the capital N's in the game. Because in the very beginning of the game, they mention like a terrorist organization called the Blood Noses.
Blood Moses.
Right. About halfway through, I was like, maybe they're saying Blood Moses. And then I was like, no, I'm pretty sure they're saying Blood Noses. I couldn't tell the N's and the M's apart.
Blood Noses is better. I like that.
You know what? When I realized it was Blood Moses, I was like, that there's no way that can be right.
Because let's see, because at first you chart the equipment in this game. Charles Barkley exclusively uses B-balls.
Yeah.
Because you get regular B-balls, spiked B-balls.
But not at first, because they're outlawed.
They're outlawed.
He's got a volleyball at first.
Yeah. Volleyball and then a soccer ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then you have to go. And
he gets like the first B-ball in the tomb of all the B-ballers, right?
Of, who is it? Because when you're on your way down there, you find the sarcophagus of Scottie Pippen first. And what like, kind of made me mad is they call like, oh, Balthios, who is the great-great-grandson of LeBron James.
Right.
Balthios James is like, oh, this is the tomb of a lesser baller, Scottie Pippen. It's like, fuck you, Scottie Pippen was not a lesser baller. He was just on the same team as Michael Jordan, but he's still in the Hall of Fame. He's still a fucking great basketball player. But whatever. I know you go through, what is it? It's not Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, God. I was like totally banking on you knowing all the names of these.
It's just that first one now I can't remember. Because the next tomb you find Patrick Ewing and Muggsy Bogues.
Right.
You eventually find...
Which I was excited because I was like, I know these names. Yeah. I feel like I know what basketball is all about. Because
they were in the Space Jam. They were trapped in there with Charles Barkley.
Pretty much if you were in Space Jam, I know who you are.
But surprisingly, zero mention of Magic Johnson in this game.
Yeah, you're right.
Not once. I was expecting something good with Magic Johnson.
They're saving him for the sequel.
That makes sense. Okay. So I was expecting at least like... Because certain topics aren't off limits. So I expected some AIDS kind of thing with Magic Johnson.
I was about to say, are you about to talk about the status effects in the game?
The status effects?
Because the status effects aren't like blind, paralysis, cold. No, they're like diabetes, Parkinson's.
And Asperger's.
Which I think you cure with alcohol.
Yep.
Yeah, all the cures are, there's insulin for diabetes, of course.
Tobacco gets rid of Parkinson's, maybe?
I think that's right.
All the, instead of potions, that's ecto-coolers.
Yes, man, I was so excited that ecto-coolers, it doesn't make any sense, but I'm down with it.
The most powerful healing items are... I guess chicken strips and Mountain Dew, so it's chicken dew.
Chicken fries, sir.
Chicken fries.
Chicken fries.
Chicken fries, okay.
Which are outlawed, by the way. Like, chicken fries are the equivalent of heroin in the post-cyberpocalypse.
They even brought them back, like
I know.
2 months ago for, like, a week. And they were
exactly.
Gone again.
It was like a weekend.
I went and I got an order, and I was excited. I mean, I don't really like them. I just know they're kind of mythical on the internet. People talk about how much they love chicken fries.
Sometimes I go through their drive-thru and I'll just ask, you guys have the Angry Whopper? No. And then I just drive away.
Angry Whopper was good. Man.
The Angry Whopper got me to go back to Burger King after like 5 years of not eating there. And then they had, fast food tangent, clearly. I never really liked Burger King's fries, right? But then they got crinkle cut fries, mm-hmm. and those were pretty good. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I noticed they had those is because I wanted to try this Angry Whopper because I like spicy food. I like spicy trash. So I would go through there and I was like, oh look, they got crinkle fries. I'm gonna try those out. And then like they got rid of the Angry Whopper. I was like, whatever. They still got those crinkle fries. I do like crinkle fries. And every time I go through the drive-thru, they were still on the menu. I'd be like, y'all, oh yeah, I want some of those. They were called Satis fries. Mm-hmm. Like, oh no, I'm sorry, we don't have any of those cooked. And I'm like, see ya. I'm going to Wendy's right across the street.
Yeah, I went the other day and got chicken nuggets from Burger King. They were absolutely the worst chicken nuggets I have ever had. My high school chicken nuggets, 3 or 4 levels better than these fucking...
Yeah.
Oh my God, they were terrible. Terrible. It was just like they mashed up cardboard, fried it, and that's what they gave me. They're the cheapest chicken nuggets you can find in town.
Are they like on the 99 cent menu?
Yeah.
I remember...
Oh, that's bad.
That was my go-to for the kids' meal at Burger King was the chicken tendies.
Yeah. Because once you go through tombs recovering basketballs and like you find all these hidden shrines about b-ball players that restore your health and things like that.
Which is all really fun because like this game doesn't stop joking around.
Period.
Like, I mean, it is
at
just
any point.
Every single thing is a joke. Even when it doesn't seem like it's a joke, I think it's really hard. It's really difficult to do parody. And especially when you're parodying a genre. But this, I feel like this game flawlessly parodies JRPGs because it does it in a way where it's not mean-spirited, but it is 100% a parody because it's like all they've really done is taken a JRPG story and just like put in b-ball stuff. And that makes it funny because and then it exposes like how ridiculous some of these storylines are because it's like, I mean, I don't want to spoil things, but like when Nega Barkley shows up later in the game and there's several forms and it's just like, oh man, if this were like just a straight up fantasy JRPG, this would be pretty normal. But like, just because it's b-ball players, it's ridiculous. And then it like makes you think, or like it's, I had to stop and like think and be like, JRPGs are fucking ridiculous.
Because when you fight Nega Barkley, his first form is basically Kefka from Final Fantasy VI. Because
right.
He has like the angel wings and he's huge and takes up the screen.
The Space Jam theme is playing, of course.
A lot of the enemy sprites I noticed are from Shining Force 2, which made me happy.
Yeah.
Because I immediately recognize those. There's a whole village of animal people, because basically now, because of the technology, like furries can basically just become, they don't have to wear a suit. You can just become an animal.
It's surgery, yeah.
With this, yeah, special surgery.
Dr. Allers.
Which I also enjoy that, like, all this ridiculousness is going on, and Charles Barkley is still, like, a normal guy. He has, like, normal person reactions to all of this, not, like, RPG character reactions.
It's kind of like Barkley came out of, like, cryogenic freezing or something, because, like, he doesn't know what's going on. Like, when you first go into underground and meet all these surgically enhanced people that look like animals, he has no fucking idea.
See, what the fuck is this? Charles, they're just trying to, and Balthios, he understands, he's trying to explain it. He's like, man, it's fucking weird. I don't care what you say. Let's just keep going. And, like, a snail person wants to woo a fuck girl.
God, this was the moment, Tyler. This was the moment where it was like, I'm finishing this game. Please, please go on. Tell us about the snail person.
Because the snail, like, writes a poem and asks you, like, I just can't go up and ask her, please deliver this for me. And Charles Barkley is like, no. This is fucking ridiculous. You look ridiculous. She looks ridiculous. I want to go. And Balthios, you can choose. Balthios talks Charles Barkley into it, and he gives you a poem, and it's the most ridiculous, like, it's a horrible poem. And Balthios is just like, this isn't going
to
work.
We have to rewrite this.
So, but you've also, whenever, right before you get to this animal town, you find a cyborg.
Cesspool X. It's the name of the animal town.
You find a broken down cyborg, which turns out it's the b-ball player Vince Carter. He mostly died, but was turned into a cyborg after the chaos dunk.
Yes. I was going to ask you about, because I did not know this player.
I don't know Vince Carter.
Because I was going to ask.
That's the only basketball player I was like, I've got zero knowledge of this dude.
Okay. Because that was in my.
Jacob is probably like, what is fucking wrong with you people?
Hey, look, I feel like we've done pretty good so far. But that is actually a bullet point in my notes. Ask Tyler who Vince Borg is.
Yeah, That guy must have came in, like, after I had really gotten into, became, oh, after my basketball phase was over, probably came on. So there's also, yeah, I'm trying to think, now I'm just thinking of other characters I wish that were in it, like Tim Duncan's not in it. Tim Duncan would have been a better person instead of LeBron James, because he's the transition between that golden age of
jamming.
Dream Team
jamming.
And current basketball. He's like the last guy that spans both of those eras.
He's the Sasquatch.
Yep.
He's the missing link.
Yep.
The poem in this game, I swear to you, this was the moment that I was hooked in the game, because you, like you said, you had the option to rewrite it. So it, all of a sudden, it's this dialogue tree where Balthios reads you what he wants to say and then lets you finish it.
Because you go talk to the fox girl and get information about her.
Right.
Then you guys go to a bar and sit down and try to rewrite this poem.
Yeah, and their Jabberjaws is sitting behind you at the bar. By the way, like, this village is overrun with Hanna-Barbera cartoon characters because there's Huckleberry Hound. I fucking lost it, man, because you talk to Huckleberry Hound because he's an NPC, and he tells you this, like, really fucking touching and dark story about, like, and it's completely serious tone. He says that his father really didn't spend time with him much, and he would set him down in front of the TV, and Huckleberry Hound was always on TV. Huckleberry Hound was always there for him, so he grew up wanting to be like Huckleberry Hound. And then when he got to a certain age, he decided that he wanted to be Huckleberry Hound. All of this, like, serious, like, deadpan shit is being told to you by a sprite that looks like Huckleberry Hound.
But, like, you have, like, what you think should be said, or what Balthios thinks should be said. He gives you, like, two options.
Yes.
What Barkley might think should be said, and then the
Vince Borg.
Vince Borg has he's using his software to try and analyze and get the poetry.
So his are always very straight to the point, very blunt, because the fox girl tells you at one point that she used to be a zookeeper, I guess before the chaos dunk, and she loves animals so much that she didn't mind going in to clean up all the cages. Mm-hmm. So, like, one of the poetry lines is something like, I mean, this is paraphrasing, but the beauty of your eyes stirs the dark waters of my heart. And Vince Borg's suggestion for the next line is, I do not mind cleaning up animal feces.
Which actually, the only way to get the perfect score is to take all of Vince Borg's suggestions.
Are you serious?
If you follow every one of his suggestions, then the snail man, they get together and they're happy and they're going to be together and they run off and the snail drops the snail zobber, which is Balthios' strongest sword for the majority of the game. Almost to the end, it is the best sword.
Maybe that is why he was, because I didn't get that. And I spent like 40 minutes on that poem because he always gives you, Balthios gives you feedback after each time you try it. And like every time he was like, well, this is kind of shitty, but I mean, we got to get going, right? And I'd be like, no, let's try it again. And I'd try a different combination. But man, I thought he was the weakest character.
Balthios?
Yeah, man. Like there's a part in the game.
He makes sense in the settings.
Oh, yeah.
He is the character. That's why he's not as appealing. He's just a guy from the setting.
Yeah,
he
right.
is a typical RPG character.
Right.
Other than that, he's LeBron James' great-great-grandson.
Well, I always thought he was super weak, too, because there's a part in the game where all four of you, you're a party of four, and you split up, and you each go down a different hallway.
In the Tomb of Cuchulainn.
Yes. Which I didn't know if that was like... purposely like trying to tie back to the Celtics since Cuchulainn's like a Celtic god or I don't know. They didn't really push the issue, but I decided on my own. I was like, okay, yeah, they're doing that. Cuchulainn also of course being I think the first fiend that you fight in Final Fantasy Tactics.
Oh yeah, you're right. Okay.
Oh, right. So the party of four splits up, and for the first time, you're not a party. You're just doing a little solo thing. Mm-hmm. I almost did not make it to the end of Balthios because he was so much weaker than the other characters.
Okay, because Balthios' scene is you're after Jamasite, and you need to get Jamasite right. to repower the ultimate B-ball.
Wait, are you after Jamasite, or are you after manufactured Slamasite?
Well, you go to the Spalding factory and find the manufactured Slamasite, but you find out the CEO tells you it's not enough.
And Scott Kriegman or something like that. The CEO is the boss.
But this is the game's alternate ending, is if as Balthios, you're coming down and suddenly Master Chief drops down.
Right.
And you have to fight Master Chief as Balthios. If you win, game continues on. If you lose to Master Chief... That means because Balthios dies, it means Charles Barkley dies, it means everything fails. So you go to what is the equivalent of hell.
So you don't just get the regular Kurt Cobain game over screen?
No. It goes to like another like side chapter that is sort of like the Chrono Trigger developer ending.
Really?
You go to hell where all the developers are. And this like, it is like hell in this game is just like the equivalent of the Dolan comics on Reddit, if you've
not familiar Dolan, with those.
Or just like the bottom of like the 4chan barrel is
okay,
like
what I'm familiar with the bottom of the 4chan.
Yeah.
Tell me what Dolan is.
Dolan is this is gonna be hard to explain.
No, that's great.
It is instead of it's Donald
Describe
Duck.
Describe it to me like a B-baller would.
It's people do their own hand drawn Donald Duck comics.
Okay.
Only they're all like backwards and fucked up.
Okay.
So it's about Dolan,
gotcha.
Who picks on his friend Gooby.
Okay.
But it is like the most fucked up shit you can imagine.
So
most of the time it's skull fucking and incest and how Dolan gets one over on Gooby.
Gotcha.
And in those kind of ways.
Okay. So it's like if Donald Duck were a Tadpog episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
But whenever you go there, like the first thing you do is you touch down in hell and it's all like fiery and flames, there are gravestones. You go up to one guy who is huffing jinkum.
I am familiar with what jinkum is. Jinkum is some gross ass shit.
Yes. So he's doing that. Everything is like, there are no capital letters. Everything that everyone's saying is misspelled and fucked up. And basically, you find out that you're fucked. But they talk about like, maybe there's one way out. You can go and talk to this one NPC, and he'll give you a quiz to see if you're worthy of like getting out or doing something else. Like, there's like a quiz.
Is this just a regular old NPC, or is this like a b-baller? Or
and they're none of them are b-ballers. Okay. They're all just like developers and fucked up people.
Okay.
So if you'll pause it for a second, and we can look up this quiz because I want to give it to you.
All right. This quiz following a short break. Okay, we're back.
And we're back.
Tyler's looking at me with menacing glee.
And there's also a part in Hell where you find out that the baseball movie Mr. 3000 starring Bernie Mac, that Bernie Mac is actually a vampire. And there's going to be a spinoff game or movie about vampire Mr. 3000 Bernie Mac.
Man. All right, so it's time for a little segment that we like to call
Vamp Commando.
Can Dave get out of hell?
Because you have to go and you talk to a developer named GZ.
Okay.
And it's like this book in the middle of a summoning circle full of candles.
Okay.
So keep in mind, everything in this, I'll read it as it's typed out, but it's super fucked up. And the views that are expressed in this quiz are not the views of Tadpog. Oh, shit. And Tadpog in no way supports them.
Oh, wow. Is this a Dolan comic?
Everything is spelled the same way.
Are you Dolan and I'm Gooby right now?
Sort of. Okay. I'm GZ. Do you want to take the Are You Married to Sonic Hedgehog test?
No.
Your options are yes and who's Sonic Hedgehog?
Who's Sonic Hedgehog?
Correct.
Yes!
Who's Sonic Hedgehog? Read a history book, Hump Skull, you fired. What is you body type? Midget but strong, pterodactyl, Pacific Islander, Hedgehog.
Gotta go Hedgehog.
Hedgehog is correct.
Yes!
Who is you role model? The only option is Lou Bega.
Is there no secret option?
No.
Okay. Just gonna go Lou Bega then.
Correct.
Oh man, I wish I had died at this fight.
Watercolor are your nails? Bloody, gray, yellow, nails, I don't have nails. Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Nails, I don't have nails.
Correct.
Yes. We're getting out of hell. I can feel it.
What got body part would you kiss first? In parentheses, Sonic. Pelvis, scrotum, feet, scropum.
I feel like the last answer has always been right so far. Is that correct?
No, it's not scropum.
Okay.
It is his scrotum. It's the first part you kiss on Sonic is his scrotum.
So I'm not getting out of hell. What happens if you get it wrong in the game?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
How did you do in school? Your options are a student, merchant of goons, I'm a psychopath, ... and jock/captain of the sport team.
I'm a psychopath, ...
No, merchant of goons.
Oh, we're looking for a merchant of goons. I'm sorry.
Goons is G-U-N-E apostrophe S.
Oh, well, you didn't fucking spell it out for me.
I should have said that. Are you homre sexual? Followed by four question marks. And your options to respond are dicks and dongs.
Dicks and dongs, final answer.
K, all of them, and then parentheses, homosexual. Destruct all homosexual, and yes.
Dicks and dongs.
Incorrect. It is.
Come on, it's totally dicks and dongs.
It is destruct all homosexual. Calculating result. The calculating results then yields.
I think the quiz broke you.
Sonic only dates whites. Signed by Dr. Doug Beach, MD.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep.
And then you get out of hell?
It looks like you have to fight some sort of a boss after that. Because you meet Chef Boyardee, who is half demon, half kitsune. And he's a fox with sunglasses.
After you answer all the correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then you go fight some kind of other developer. And the developer, whose name is Diggity, just tells you, this is Death Temple in hell. You gonna die, bitch.
You have to do this all as Balthios?
You do it as Barkley.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you have a shot then.
So then it looks like it cuts back to you as Balthios standing in front of Master Chief again. So I guess if you do it correctly, you get to try again.
Try again. Yeah, I just cheesed my way through that entire thing because it was just like, I didn't even try to, there was no honor when I was playing as Balthios because it was just like, fucking spam these zobbers and then drink b-ball tears to replenish my b-ball energy.
I think my favorite character in the game is probably the third person you recruit, which is Cyberdwarf.
Yeah.
Cyberdwarf comes from another dimension or another world, but upon entry into onto Earth, his skin burnt up and he had to have it replaced with basketballs.
Because that's all they had. All they had was basketballs at hand. They didn't have Cyberdwarf skin. I love that when you ask him where he's from, it's a one-word answer: space.
He is both a heavy hitter and your party's healer.
Yes, he's a really heavy hitter, which I'm glad that you brought up that he's a heavy hitter, because he's a heavy hitter because of the way his combat style is set up. Mm-hmm. Because his combat style is set up to where each of the three buttons will do either a jab, a kick, or a punch. So it's kind of like a fighting game. Mm-hmm. But they just straight up tell you, and he's also got finishing moves where you can hit like forward in a button, back in a button, up in a button. But they straight up tell you that that's never going to deal as much damage as just hitting punch. So that's what I did every time, was just hit punch, 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 punch. But each of the characters had their own like fighting style. And I thought it was interesting because like Charles Barkley just takes shots at, like, he just shoots the basketball at enemies. Like
free throws and stuff.
Free throws and pass and stuff like that. Except for his dunks. His dunks take up b-ball energy. Mm-hmm. You can spend b-ball energy to do special dunks. Just not
that
a chaos
that
dunk.
You can learn from dead b-ball players.
Yes.
Once you make peace with them, they will teach you.
Yes.
Let's see.
So was he your favorite? So Cyberdwarf is your favorite character, period, in the game, or is your favorite character that you can play as?
Favorite character you can play as.
Okay. Do you have a favorite character in the game?
Oh, that's hard because so much shit is entertaining. Leonard the Janitor.
Leonard the Janitor?
No.
I do.
Who is your favorite character?
Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman.
The Underground Harriet Railroad. Harriet Tubman,
who runs the Underground Railroad. Which is the abandoned subway system in New York. That's how you get to Liberty Island to cure Hoops' diabetes, too.
Oh, yeah. From Yelbrum?
Yes.
Yelbrum?
So,
that's a pretty good part of the game.
Yes, it's a very... That whole, like, Liberty Island part of the game is amazing because Liberty Island now is pretty much run by a cult of anti-sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I think an anti-sugar cult, which is kind of run by help me out here. What was his name?
Yelmer.
Because now that I know who he is, like I can't remember his.
As soon as I saw it, I knew. Yeah. Who he was.
Well, I read it backwards. I was like, because like backwards it's Brimley, and then like I completely felt like an idiot. Like I didn't make the connection. I was like, I read it backwards because I was like, oh, okay, well it's Brimley. All right, whatever. And I just kept playing, and then I got to the end where it's like fucking Wilford Brimley, and I'm like, God damn it. How did I miss that setup? All they're talking about for the last 45 minutes is diabetes.
Because a character gets type 2 diabetes, which they've cured type 1 diabetes right. In this reality, but they had never cured type 2, and it's much deadlier than it ever has been. So a character gets type 2 diabetes, you have a very short time frame to go and get them cured. So, Liberty Island, you have to find Wilford Brimley to cure type 2 diabetes.
I like it. I like talking about our favorite things.
I forgot to mention, just as a quick note, that Michael Jordan's sprite is Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
God, yes. Sprite. With like a crudely drawn handgun. So he'll like, whenever he attacks, like he'll flip out at you.
It's not like a sprite or something drawn in paint that is then put in the game.
Well, that's like all the portraits in this game are fucking hilarious. Because like Mike, I don't know what they did to make Michael Jordan's portrait, but it kind of looks like NES Dick Tracy with like Michael Jordan's face just like photoshopped poorly.
It's really bad.
And like all their mouths move when they talk. So it's really funny because it's like, it's hilarious because they went through the effort to animate the mouths on these like really fucking crude portraits.
Did you do the basically the spoof of the Chocobo Racing game.
I saw it.
Yeah.
And I fed it all the things and let it drink all the things. And then I dribbled it, shot it, passed it. And then I was like, nothing happened. I'm leaving so I can finish the game.
Yeah, because you go to the b-ball farm and you can raise and breed like b-balls. And that's the way of like maxing out like your stats. It's like it's a hidden thing. They don't show you how much it is. But I read the big breakdown of it about feeding them Jordan greens, Ewing greens, or Barkley greens. Chamberlain greens. Yeah. And yeah, you dribble it and roll, shoot it, whatever, a bunch of shit.
And it raises your stats?
It raises your stats to a certain point, yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay. Well, that's all in the b-ball dimension.
Yeah.
That happens in the b-ball dimension.
Uh-huh. Which is where all the dead b-ballers go. That's their great reward upon right. death.
There's another great thing in the b-ball dimension, and that's the dating service, which I think is one of the funniest parts of the game. Charles Barkley still loves Maureen, even though she's dead. Mm-hmm. So he can't try out this dating service. Hoops is a kid, so he can't try out this dating service. I think Baldios just says he has a girlfriend, so he can't do it. But Cyber Dwarf, he can. Mm-hmm. So Cyber Dwarf does it. And all of the matchups are WNBA players. Do you remember the player?
It's like Ivana Walls or something like that.
Something like that. And it's like they ask you like what kind of girls you like, who you'd like to be matched up with. And like all Cyber Dwarf says, apple bottoms. So then the game just, you just like have this like speed date essentially in the middle of the game where it's got this player's portrait. I mean like, photo portrait, her real like her photograph portrait. Up there, and she's talking to you, and like you always have three dialogue options, and the bottom one is pretty much always, show me that apple bottom.
I'm gonna get that keister. Yeah. I don't know, Cyber Dwarf.
Show it.
It's like two Granny Smith apples in a barrel. Oh shit!
It's a good game.
It's a good game.
It's a really good game.
And it's free. You just can play it. Like there's no reason. I don't know. If you like RPGs or basketball or comedy, you should play the game.
Ghost Dad's in it. Ghost Dad is in it. I don't need to say anymore.
That is what when I saw that I lost it. Because where you go down like to proto Neo New York.
Yes.
And that's where Juana Man is. Juana uh-huh. Man tells you you can't get to the Spalding factory. God. Juana Man's sprite is super fucked up.
Yes.
The eye is not in the right place. It looks like my old boss. It's really fucked up.
Well, now Jason's never going to be on the show again.
No, it's just fine. It's fine. He'll understand.
I love that part of the game because it really, like, I think this is where it made like the second best dig at JRPGs ever, because you go and talk to Juana Man, and like you just dash into the house because you're standing around proto Neo New York, and you just hear this laughing, and you hear a voice that says, "Quick, get in the house!" And like you jump in the house, and Juana Man is there, and she's and you're like, "What the fuck was that?" And she's like, "That was Ghost Dad." and she like goes on to tell about how there's a fog surrounding the city and they're pretty sure it has to do with Ghost Dad, and that they'd really like for you to take care of Ghost Dad, but in order to do so you need to go to the Hunter Board, which is outside mm-hmm. outside her house. You need to go outside to the Hunter Board and accept the quest, and then you can fight Ghost Dad. But what they have you do is go out to the board. There's an NPC there who says, "There are different monsters that you can hunt. Their ranks are E through S. E is the easiest. I suggest you start there." You go to the board. There's only one entry, and it's Ghost Dad, and he's E. You accept it, and then they say, "You need to go talk to the person who posted this quest," and that's Juana Man. So they send you right back where you fucking came from. And then, of course, you fight Ghost Dad.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, Bill Cosby, which I thought was even funnier now.
I know.
Because of all the Bill Cosby yeah. shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
How do you think Bill Cosby would do on GZ's quiz?
100%. He knows where to kiss Sonic. Yeah. Get him on the scrotum. Pull out your popsicle sticks, put them in his butt, kiss him on his scrotum.
There's one other thing that I want to touch on.
Not scrotums.
Not scrotums. Not slonics. Scrotum. And that is, this legitimately has the best poem I've ever read in a video game. Did you meet Dan in this game? Dan is in Dr. Aller's, the plastic surgeon's, waiting room. He wants his skin turned obsidian black because his favorite character ever is Drizzt Do'Urden. And then he reads you a poem that he's written about Drizzt. And it is one of those, like, Dwight Schrute style, like, it's the name Drizzt Do'Urden, like, spelled out. And there's, like, a line for each letter in his name.
I forget what the style is called.
And the best was, that is the fucking best. But my favorite was when he got to R. The second letter in his name, it was R, read about him in a book. I lost my shit, man. It made me, like, want to, like, ask my mom if she kept, like, all that bullshit that I wrote as, like, a second grader. Because, like, I know I've got shit like that. Oh, one more thing I want to talk about. The save points. We haven't talked about the save points.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They're truck pumps?
Yeah, like gasoline pumps or something.
Something. But, like, they are the neckbeardiest, like, JRPG loyals like you've ever talked to, because, like, they're constantly talking about how the Western inferior brain likes Quake and Madden,
as opposed to the true games like Ark the Lad.
Right? It's constantly, like, spouting,
and it's every time you save, it's like 45 seconds of rapidly trying to scroll through all this shit every time you want to save.
Yep.
But it's important that you pay attention to it, because you get quizzed on it at the end of the game when the final pump gives you a quiz.
Which I failed, which I felt really mad about because I read all of them. I failed when it asked me about Chrono Cross's music, like what the genre was. And I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know what the genre was. Do you get anything if you pass the quiz?
I don't think you do.
But it made me wonder, like, because they were so long and so neckbeardy that, like, were those forum posts or something that, like, someone posted, God, like, to the developer, so. And he was just like, grab,
I hope
slap
he just
in-game.
Cut face from forums, man. Oh, that's good. I didn't think about that. That's really good. Do you have any achievements for it?
I did.
Okay.
I've got two achievements. My first achievement, and I hope you might be able to.
Nosh have arrived in studios now.
What's up, Nosh?
They're trying to be quiet and respectful, which I appreciate. But Nicole looks, she's lost because she doesn't want to make any noise.
Yeah, so she's standing very still. Like, there's a T-Rex in the room. My first achievement is called Slam with the Best. Mm. In order to unlock Slam with the Best, you need to get the Holy Dunk. And you get the Holy Dunk by beating a basketball player that I'm not familiar with, but he has a funny name.
It's like McCump.
Now, this is where Jacob gets really mad.
I've heard of the guy.
I think he's actually been mentioned on Tadpog
before. Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah, there you go. Because, like, I think I made that baby dinosaur reference the last time he was brought up. So that's how you get Slam with the Best. My second achievement is called Jam with the Rest. And in order to unlock Jam with the Rest, you need to kill the Ghastly Dark Lord with Balthios.
Okay.
Because Balthios is definitely the rest.
I actually didn't have any because I was trying to think. It's like, what would be a good achievement? And it's like, nothing came to mind. I was like,
really?
I'm parroting a parody at this point. So, like, I didn't even know what to pick. And I wonder what the goddess of this world is, Clips Path.
Yeah, but there's also there's the patron saint of b-ballers.
Yeah,
I love the Teresa. I think.
Which I was wondering, I was like, what is that from? I have no idea what it's from. No clue whatsoever.
And that's what I meant where, like, I just gave up on looking shit up. And, like, because you're just bombarded with all this stuff where it's, like, so much of it is references that it, like, gets to the point where it's just, like, something happens or something is said and I just assume that it's a reference. But there's so many of them that I just, in order for me to look everything up, like, this game would take 80 hours. Yeah. It's really just, like, a 5 or 6 hour game.
Okay, I've got one. Circle Gets the Square.
Okay.
And you get that by having no failures on all of the quick time events in the game.
Gotcha.
Because there are, I didn't like them, annoying kind of quick time events.
I wondered if that was intentional. Like they were intentionally annoying because those are the only times that I've got the game over screen was the quick time events because the battles are super easy. And thankfully, like there aren't many of the battles in the game. Like there's really not a whole lot of fighting in it other than bosses and stuff. But like there's no grinding. Because
once you kill an enemy, they disappear. They don't respawn.
Like that could have been one way that they really could have made this a shitty game is if they made it grindy. And not story and humor focused, where it's like, oh, that's still in there, but you have to like fight through 50 monsters before you get to the next segment of the story. Yeah. That would have fucking killed this game. Mm-hmm. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a good time, and Ashley Shake, Fist Puncher fame, is going to be calling us like in 8 minutes. So we do need to wrap it up, I guess. but before we do that, before we talk to him, I've got some important questions for you.
Okay.
The first of which being, if you were to give this game a beard, what kind of beard would you give it?
I would give it, it's a beard, it's like a cyber dwarf kind of beard, where it's a beard that's made up entirely of old severed HDMI cables.
Old basketballs. Sorry.
Old tattered HDMI cables hanging off your face.
Okay, I think we could make that after we record this and talk to Ashley Shake. If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses would you give it?
I was trying to think. I can't think of the character who has these glasses, but it's the kind of shades that are all completely like one level. Like they don't form to fit your eyes or whatever. It's like a visor bar.
Uh-huh. Like Cyclops' Ruby Quartz?
Sort of like just like they're actual sunglasses you can wear. And I remember them on a black guy with long dreadlocks. I don't know if it's a video game.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's the sort of, maybe they're sort of like Blades.
Okay.
Blades glasses, maybe.
Okay, so Blades glasses?
Yeah, let's go with Blades
glasses. Or something. Something like Blades glasses.
Futuristic shades.
Like a sensor bar? Like when you're like, when someone's on television, they want their identity withheld, they put that black bar in front of their eyes? Something like that?
That'll work. Oh, man.
Play it. Play this game.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Play this game.
There are few excuses for you not to.
I mean, it's free. You can play it on Windows or Mac. It's hilarious. I honestly think if you enjoy this show, you will enjoy this much funnier game.
Yep. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. We haven't done that whole part where I say, so from the next episode, I think we talked about playing Beyond Oasis.
Mark of the Ninja.
Mark of the Ninja, you're right. Mark of the Ninja.
Spoilers, we're going to be doing Beyond Oasis pretty soon, too. Yep.
We'll go through that eventually list.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to go through the iTunes, our reviews, or write games down, you get a pretty good idea what's coming up. But we love 5-star written reviews. They still help us out tremendously. iTunes is the biggest market.
We can never be B-ballers ourselves. Like the closest we can get to becoming a B-baller is to get 5,000 5-star reviews on iTunes.
That's true, yeah.
That is the closest that we can get.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So, okay, so that's our next goal, 5,000?
5,000.
Or do you want a Dragon Ball Z reference, say over 9,000?
Yeah, let's do that. I like that.
Over 9,000?
Over 9,000, yeah.
People say we can't be stronger than Vegeta, so we need to have a power level.
Yeah.
A 5-star review rating that's over 9,000 reviews.
That is our most common criticism.
I like this podcast, but not as powerful as Vegeta.
I mean, it's only taken us 2.25 years to get 103. So we'll be doing this for
eventually.
Like a couple decades.
So really, like you listen to our show, you like it, you want to help us out, give us a 5-star written review on iTunes. We try to further incentivize you to where there's a game you want us to play or a guest host you want on an episode, include that in your 5-star written review. And we promise we will get to it
eventually. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about probably some ninjas. Probably not going to be as funny as Charles Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden. Mm-hmm. But it might be.
It might be.
Let's not rule it out. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. I just hope it's just loaded up with Space Jam mashups. Like, I hope that's just, it's like a 100 Space Jam mashups. Like, we make our own Tadpog's top 100 Space Jam mashups.
There are a lot of Quad City DJ and whatever other song mashed up on YouTube. There's so many.
So we should be able to knock this list out like 20 minutes. You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. So go check it out. Tyler will normally make a post for each episode, and that's like a really good way to let us know what you've thought about this episode. I feel like this one was actually really strong, but maybe on further review, I'll find out that I'm incorrect. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who is tweeting at us, and especially those of you who are retweeting our episode posts. Really do appreciate that. It helps get the word out about the show. I haven't asked this in a really long time, but if you have a friend that you think would enjoy Tadpog, if you have a Cody to your Fish Lips Jay, I ask mm-hmm. that you please tell him or her about this show. Because that's a really good way to grow the audience.
Or is there like a weird kid in your class that's kind of antisocial and keeps to himself? Tell him about our show. Chances are he'll really like it.
Is he psychopath? ...
Psychopath, our Venn diagram of man. Psychopath is a large percentage.
Am I forgetting anything? Yeah, I guess I am. If you want to call us, you can. Sometimes we do calls. Mm-hmm. Feel free to give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. Keep it under 3 minutes at 270-883-2555. You can also text if you want. Chances are that I will read it incorrectly, though.
And our theme song is Moves by Sycamore Drive. A link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Nailed it. It's like you've been doing this for over 2 years.
How do you want to close it out?
I mean, I think you know.
Charles Barkley impressions.
Yes, we have to do Charles Barkley.
So until next time, tropical Capricorn.
What?
I don't know. It's terrible.
That's
terrible.
Nicole and I were just watching the Maverick.